The scriptures today are wonderful. The Romans 8 is one that I preach so many times, and I love that scripture where it talks about all the possibilities that take place in the kingdom of God. But I chose the parable today to focus on, and all week I've been looking at this scripture and then understanding it in the way that God would have me understand it. We live in an exciting time right now. The world is in massive change. Information and technology are running at a rate that's never been seen before. In fact, only in the past few years, we've seen this increase in understanding of knowledge, wisdom. We're able to see in distance and see even small in ways we never have. Yet with all this great wisdom and advancement and understanding, we still struggle with the simple things. The simple things seem to throw us off, like just compassion and love and how we get along with each other, just companionship, the simple things of knowing who we are and whose we are and the basis of what it means to believe and who to believe in. And so today I felt like it was the parable we needed to look at in particular and understand the basis of what Jesus is describing. Here he's, once again, as we talked last week about the sower, today we look at the actual seed that is being planted and how the seed has been planted in the world, the seed of good, and how good is prospering and growing. Good is winning. Let me say that first. Good is winning. God is winning. He's not losing this battle. Though we're told otherwise by many in this culture, this society, even ones we know are skeptical, thinking that bad has won the day, but the truth is good is winning the game. So the seeds that are good are growing. Now there are some weeds that have been planted. They're mixed in. And these weeds, it seems, at times are choking out the sun. It seems that the bad is getting all the press, but God is the ultimate judge. God understands good, and he knows good. So know that even your good deeds in secret are known to God. Now, with that being said, this morning when I got up, the sun was coming up. I got up real early to see that and to behold that, the wonder and just the majesty of that. When I lived on the Outer Banks, I used to drive over to the ocean early in the morning so I could see the sun come out of the ocean. It's such an amazing sight to watch the sun. It just comes up in such a powerful way. We are children of the sun. The sun is what provides light and life to this planet. If there were not the sun, we would just be a cold rock floating, the third planet from the sun, and there would be no life on this planet. But the sun is what provides us the nutrients of life. God put this sun, which according to scientists is not a major type sun, it's actually a minor base sun, but this is an extraordinary sun that he has given us with this yellow white light that he's given life to us. God made the sun so that we can know his presence. And we look at the sun not in a direct way, because that's not advisable, even with the eclipse coming up. This 99 year, you have to go see the eclipse. We have to understand the sun is so powerful that with the naked eye, it can cause issues with your sight and even blindness in some cases. So God has given us a sun that gives nutrients. You've heard me mention this guy. His name is Elon Musk. He's the founder of PayPal, and he's the one that has started the Tesla car, you know, electric car. And he said in a speech the other day that he could take 1 square mile of New Mexico covered in his solar panels and power the U.S. Just 1 square mile of solar panels, and he could power the entire U.S. He said, we keep talking about the need of energy, yet every day the sun is giving us tremendous energy. It's a fusion engine that's providing us energy every day. In fact, right now, even in this sanctuary, with the sun that's shining through the stained glass, your body is having chemical reactions, and you are actually being fed by the sun. We are. See, the sun is so powerful that it gives us warmth. Now, what does it mean it gives us warmth? It gives us the ability to know its presence. It envelops us. The sun envelops the crops. Have you noticed the crops are growing like, what's it said, like weeds now out there? In fact, tobacco is considered a weed. And it's growing, and the corn is growing, and the gardens are growing, and the peas are growing, and just the beans, and all the things are growing. It's like we put the seeds and they grow, and it's just a miracle. And we talked last week about how the sower goes forth and sows. Well, God is providing what we need. That needs to be said again, because in our culture, we seem to go from a basis of scarcity, where we act like every day is a rainy day or a dreary day or there's no sun today. We live in states of depression and sorrow instead of realizing how much good God is doing around us each and every day. My mother used to call me sunshine in the morning because I used to wake up a little grumpy, you know, having to go to school so early. Why you got to go to school so early? I still can't figure that one out. Go there and you got to go, and she'd get up and she'd have my cereal, and my favorite cereal when I was a boy was Captain Crunch. Do you like Captain Crunch? I love Captain Crunch. And I would have to have at least two jugs of milk with my Captain Crunch. And she said, "How are you, Sunshine?" And I'd go, "I'm not happy today. We got a test today." And she'd call me Sunshine. Now, she did that as a way to cheer me up, to make me feel better, and it was a way, I guess, she could kind of laugh at her son who weren't too humored in the morning. See, there's some days that we wake up and it seems like the shadows are heavier. And what Jesus is saying is the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sows good seeds in the field. By while everyone was sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds just among the wheat and then went away. Now, we cannot deny the presence of evil in the world. We cannot deny the darkness that tries to encroach in our life. But sun wins the battle. You can tell that very easily by a single flashlight in a distance shines and it pierces the night. Light has the amazing ability that it gives warmth to us no matter what distance it is. In other words, just seeing it is feeling the presence of God. And I can tell you that in ministry, when we do good, when we help people, when we reach out in the hands and the love of Christ, it helps people to feel the warmth and the presence of Jesus. In fact, I celebrate the McIntoshes, and they've now moved on to the next stage of where God is taking them. But one of the things Travis told me over ice cream the other night, he said, "I want you to know," he said, "when we walked into Spring Hill, it's a special place, and we felt the fellowship." In other words, he was describing the warmth that we have. And now there's different ways that we can express that, and there's different ways that we can have that happen, but there's no doubt for him and his family, he felt particularly embraced by the warmth and the presence. It's like the sun is shining. Now, what also sun does is sun gives us light. And this light is the light of faith. It's the light that lights our way. It's the light that tells us how to go forward and how to know the presence of God. Now, my mother, I mentioned her. When she was a little girl, she grew up on a farm. She had 9 members. They were children. She was the oldest girl and her older brother, and then the rest were the younger children. They grew up on a farm down there with my grandfather and grandmother, and they were farmers. They grew up there. And she said one day they were out there, and then suddenly they saw something in the sky, and that her grandmother thought the Lord was coming. And so she called the children all to start praying, and they just knelt down in a circle right there in the field, and they all were praying. And Mother said that she looked up, and there was somebody riding R.C. Coley by one of those planes up in the sky. And she was tugging on just her grandmother's apron and saying, it's just a plane. And she was saying, "Hush up, child, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming." And my mother said it wasn't the Lord, it was that she wanted R.C. Cola after she saw that sky rider. That's what she told me when I was a boy, and I thought it was a humorous story, and I was thinking to myself, how many of us are living in the light of expectation of the coming of the Lord? The other day, I got to missing Leona, and I was looking for Leona, and I couldn't find her, and I looked here, and I looked there, and I finally found her. She had stepped outside to do something, and I said, I thought you had been raptured, and she laughed at me. So if you go missing anybody, some of these young children, tell them you think they've been raptured. Now, the next obvious question, if they've been raptured, why are you still here? That's a serious question. If somebody else gets raptured and you're left, then that means, oh, Lord, there's something not right. See, those in the light are attracted to the light. They're drawn to the light. The reason, and across the board, is amazing. People are claiming faith this day and age, but they're not attending church like they used to. They're claiming they believe in God, but they're not participating like they used to. And the reason is they're living in darkness, and they do not see the light. They're attracted to other things than to God. And the reason is they're becoming weeds instead of wheat. They are not growing to prosper with fruit. They are growing to consume. What makes a weed a weed? Now, you could look at it scientifically and try to understand, the basis of why it's said it's a weed and this is wheat. But the basic reason there's a difference is that wheat produces a head. It says it here in the scripture. It produces a fruit. A weed only consumes for itself. It only cares about itself. Do you hear what I'm saying? That a weed only cares about itself. Now, what's the original sin? It's selfishness. Selfishness is the original sin. Eve was selfish. Adam was selfish. They had the sons, Cain and Abel, and one was selfish over the other, and he even murdered him. And then that sin is tracking us, that seed of evil is tracking us. When you do a selfish act, you are acting like a weed. You're only caring about yourself. Now people say, well, I've got to care about myself. Who else is going to care for me? Nobody's going to care for me. Sisters and brothers, I heard that a lot when I did prison ministry down at Tabor Correctional Institute. Nobody cares about me. I'm here because nobody cares about me. I took it because it belonged to me. Even though it belonged to them, it belonged to me. And I look at them and I say, you really believe that? Oh, yeah. And I said, you think that makes you innocent because somehow you got to take care of yourself? Don't you realize that God is taking care of us now? He's given us a church. Not just any church, but a special church. He's given us Spring Hill. We are here on Spring Hill Road. Is the road named after us, or are we named after the road? See, the truth is, we're named because God has named us. See, He's given us a place. He's given us a purpose. And that purpose is to be the children of God. It was seen so evidently in our vacation Bible school. The children learning about Jesus, learning about the gospel. He's given us opportunity to worship and to come together. He's given us opportunity to give back to Him. Because when we give back to Him, He gives multiple back to us. God is never outgiven. You give to God and He'll give back more to you. God doesn't let us get the last word. God always gives more. And so the wheat, it gets fruit. And that fruit, it prospers and it helps other people. And it's selfless instead of selfish. And we have a society full of selfish people. People caring about themselves. I just never seen the beat up. It's like they sit there and they act this way and act this way and they don't even realize what they're doing. They don't realize what they're doing. They're breaking the chain of good. They're letting evil and the weeds try to take over the garden. They're losing sight of what the truth is of the gospel. And the church is sitting by and going, well, we can't get involved. Yes, we can. Who else knows good and evil better than we do? I know what evil is. I've seen evil. I've come face to face with evil. I know what evil tries to do. It tries to destroy. It tries to tear down. It tries to demolish. It tries to rip apart. Evil tries to take our families and rent them asunder. Evil is so dominant, but understand it is still losing. The weeds are not outgrowing the wheat because we're growing taller. See, we're growing taller, and the reason we're growing taller is to reach the sun. The reason is we want to reach the light. You ever notice the plant will do that? That it will curl around and reach the light, and sometimes it forms a vine. If you go to the mountains, you can see that, and you can see the different ones that turn its leaves, and it will try some of the hardwoods, and it reaches the light. See, the light is what gives us the purpose. We're reaching for God. And God is reaching for us. And so the weeds, they're going to die. And not just they're going to die, they're going to be taken up. Now, we'll look at what Jesus said about this. They said, well, let's go pull the weeds out of the garden. Jesus said, no, if you pull the weeds, you will pull some of the wheat. In other words, God is going to come and there will be judgment. And at the judgment, the angels are given charge to go into, to divide. And they'll come and they'll take the weeds and they'll bind them together and they'll throw them into the fire. Postmodern church doesn't like dealing with that part. It tries to make it everybody get to heaven no matter what they do. Sisters and brothers, that's a club I don't want to belong to. That's not a one where you get a trophy for just participating. This is you get a trophy for running the race. You get it for fighting the good fight. In other words, we're different from the weeds and we need to know it. We are not the weeds. We are not about self. We are about selfless behavior. We're about being Christ-like. The servant said, you want us to go and pull them up? And Jesus is answering, no, because when you're pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let them both grow together. Let them grow together. Now that's a hard thing, is to grow together with someone who's selfless and selfish. It's hard that one seems to take advantage of the other, and that culturally we seem to be at a divide. I've been watching people, and people like to protest, you know, in this day and age. And they're marching around and they're protesting, and that's a God-given right. That's a right of our nation. But they're walking by people in need, and they're not helping them one bit. This church here, what's our total apportionment, Brad? Isn't it like 48 or something like that? Isn't that what it is, Linda, somewhere in that neighborhood? $48,000. Now, we don't like to brag, of course, but if we go around and ask the other churches, we'll find out they're not giving that, and that's beyond our budgetary needs. We are a generous church, and God still is blessing us more with generosity, because generosity grows when the light is shining. People invest in what they believe in and who they believe in. Jesus said, you're going to have to just let it grow. Let it happen. But the day is coming when the harvesters, the angels, will first collect the weeds and tie them in a bundle, and they'll be burned. And then he'll gather the wheat and bring it into the barns. In other words, the kingdom will take place. Now, what happens with the sun that shines upon us and gives us warmth and gives us light is it also gives us presence. Now, what I mean by this is the sun is how we measure our location. We know where we are. The sun is our constant. It's our guide. We can count on it coming up tomorrow. The sun is coming up tomorrow. No matter what is going on in our life, no matter what is going on in this world. Now, we're told by scientists there'll be a day when the sun will go out. Well, sisters and brothers, I won't be here, and neither will you. The sun isn't going out, and I'm not going to be some Aztec priest that's going to tell you when the eclipse comes that the great creator God is angry, so you got to give more. I'm not going to manipulate the truth. I'm now just going to say it like it is. God made the sun for us so that we can know his presence. And that's what it's talking about here, that the presence of God is that God is shining his light and we're moving, not the sun. The sun is rotating and we're moving around the sun. In other words, we are in connection with God. And that's what God has called us to do. See, in the scripture, Jesus is saying, as the children of God, as the wheat, as the ones who are bearing the fruit, always look towards the sun and always know the sun is there for you. Now, we could play with the word sun, S-U-N, and make it S-O-N, and know that Jesus is always present. So no matter where you go, that's why the scripture from Romans 8 was read. No matter how it ends up, all things work for good. No matter what dark path you end on, God is there constantly shining the light. And we just have to pierce through the darkness to see it. I don't know. It's a struggle. And I think part of it is we know too much now. To go back to what I said at the beginning. We become a people that we take out our smartphones and we look up things. We think we know, but in reality, we do not know. Because God created all this, and he created it for a singular purpose, not just to create, because God creates. He's a creator God. He created all of this for us. That's crazy, isn't it? That's like the most selfish thing I've ever heard somebody would say. How can you say that? You're saying God created the heavens and the earth. And he created all the creatures that have walked the earth in the past and all the days that are ahead. You're saying that the entire creation is about us. That's the most selfish thing. I can hear them saying it. Preacher, you just sat there and said not to be selfish, and now you're claiming everything is because of us, that God made it for us. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. And I'm not cutting around, and I'm not beating around the bush, and I'm not trying to deny it, and I'm not trying to be humble about it. He made it for us. He put them in place for us. Everything had to be in his place for us to take place. We keep looking desperately for life somewhere else, and we're not even seeing the life we have here. See, we're losing sight of what he's showing us, that we're special to him. And how do we know that? It's that last part of that scripture when he says, then he will throw them into the furnace, just the fiery furnace, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's the weeds. That's bad. Bad people are going to judgment. They are going to a place of punishment. Feel sorry for them. They will not know the light of eternity. They will be punished eternally. Let's not try to beat around a theological bush here. Let's not try to pretend that somehow this isn't being nice. There's nothing nice about it. It's the truth. Jesus said it. It's the truth. Why do we want to qualify it? Because somehow we think it's not proper. It's not right. We're not God. God knows what he's doing here. This punishment is real. And he says he's going to take these weeds and he's going to throw them into the fiery furnace and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then he says this wonderful statement that I know this is all for us. He says, and then the righteous will shine like the sun. The kids this morning were shining like the sun. They were jumping around, leaping for faith. They kept looking around for acknowledgement. They wanted their parents and their loved ones. They wanted you to see them. It's important for a child to be seen. If a child is not seen, then they're hungry to be recognized. Nothing sadder in this world than a child that is not seen. God sees us. He wants us to shine like the sun. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let them hear, Jesus says. You are my sunshine. my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. See, my mama used to sing that to me when she called me sunshine. She used to tell me that you're the light of my life, Jerome. When you don't shine, when you're selfish, it breaks my heart. Because you do not understand what I need you to understand. You are my sunshine. Do you hear it? Do you feel it? Do you feel the warmth? Do you feel the connection? Do you see the light? Isn't it a beautiful thing? These children that are the light of our eyes. They fill us with such joy. Then they worry us a lot. Sisters and brothers, how beautiful it is when the kingdom is real in our hearts. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. The day is coming when it will not be a pilot writing words in the sky, but the Son of Man will come. Many signs are taking place, wonders that are happening. And just as Jesus, he was born on a certain day, he was crucified on a certain day, he rose on a certain day, he ascended on a certain day, he's coming again on a certain day. And when he comes, only those whose faces are lifted up in the sun shall be the wheat. But all who are cast down to the ground in selfish ways shall be the weeds. God have mercy on our souls.